Hello, good morning, everyone. So this is my second time actually here. Were you here last week? Yes, some of you say yes. If you were here last week, you got to listen to Pastor Wilbur's story about how Koinonia Church started and how we become the church you see today. It reminded me, actually, the first time I joined Koinonia Church, I came to the church, and I was amazed. Amazed by how serious the servant serve us, how serious they treated their roles. I heard that at that time, people started at 8:30 in the morning, and then they started to move stuff from the storage to here, RHS, and then they set up the stages, they set up the chair, and also, what surprised me was when I came out from the worship. At that time, we worship here, and then we walk out to the foyer, and I saw the most impressive finger food you ever see. They prepare that for the whole congregation to enjoy so that we can gather around the table, we can chat up, we can hang out with each other. And I met some volunteer who actually welcomed us like one of their own families. They were so serious about what they were doing at that time. And it wasn't just for a day. It was like week after week, after week, after week, for years. They kept doing this. They are still doing this. I asked myself, how can they do that? What made them so excited about all this mundane task? Are they crazy? If they are crazy, what they are actually crazy about? If you have listened to our story last week, do you have the same questions? Are you curious? Do you want to be part of the pictures? You know, when people come to picking a church, different people usually have different reasons. Some, they told me they want a comfortable and enjoyable service, a comfortable church that have good worship, good music, good ambience, and some good messages. People want to feel welcomed, and that's one of the reasons they stay there. And sometimes they stay just because they can find their friends there. Isn't that true? Deep within, we prefer comfort, right? We prefer songs that we know we like and we're familiar with. We prefer message that's humorous and inspiring at the same time. But yet, don't be too challenging. Don't challenge me too much, otherwise I will live. We want to have the best loudness with the music, the most comfortable seat, the right temperatures, and good lighting. Best of, we can meet some welcoming people that know how to keep a safe distance from us. Don't get too close, yet don't get too far, otherwise I feel isolated. And best of all, if I can have my friends here, sitting with my friend, and then I know where I was going to for some good lunch, some good food in Richmond. However, sooner or later, you will be frustrated. Maybe it's a song, some new songs that you find tough to sync with, to keep up with. Maybe it's a sermon series that you found irrelevant. Doesn't matter to me. Maybe it's the worship hall here. It's getting too dark, too bright, too cold, too hot. We start to think, well, the church seems like they didn't know how to serve us well. We become discontent and conclude that this is just not for me. We want a church that serves us better. Well, there's nothing wrong if you want to have a better encounter with God. But what does better mean? What does better really mean? Does better mean that God will work around our comfort, or that God and His body will serve in a way to make me feel comfortable? if your discontent is around your discomfort, sooner or later you will be frustrated with church. No church can be perfect for you. You will become bitter. And then you will find this whole worship thing irrelevant. You may decide that actually you can do something better on a Sunday, something more interesting, more exciting, more important. Maybe it's to hang out with some friends. Maybe it's to watch just one more episode of the latest K-drama. Maybe it's just working one more day on some very important project. I know how that feels, because it was once my struggles. When I was younger, I attended this church which was in Hong Kong. And then I came to a time I feel really, really frustrated. And I started to drift away. I found the song they sang very old-fashioned. It's just not half exciting as those pop music. And it's also tough to follow. You know, that pitch is so out of my range. It's so high. I can't reach that. And the message, that's so tough. I couldn't understand. I couldn't. And always came out from the worship and think like, oh my God, what I have just listened to. I couldn't remember anything. But then I kept attending church every week anyway. It's just because my friends were there. I was so happy to be with them. I felt so happy. But then I start to told myself, because deep within I have this discontent. I ask myself, like, aren't there more interesting things to do? Aren't there more important things to do? Why couldn't I just like a non-Christian to enjoy my Sunday? You know, just take things easy and do whatever thing I find enjoyable. Wasn't that great? That was the discontent out of my own discomfort. And I told you, to be honest with you, it wasn't healthy. At least for me, to be stuck in that kind of discontent, because it made me frustrated. It made me want to leave. But holy discontent is not like that. Holy discontent draw us to God, draw us into actions. Holy discontent, however, draw you to God and draw you into actions. Remember the quotation from last week from Bill Hybels about holy discontent? He said, holy discontent is the one aspect of this broken world that when you see it, touch it, get near it, you just can't stand it. Very likely, the firestorm of frustration reflects your holy discontent. A reality so troubling that you are fresh off the couch and into the game. A reality so troubling that you are thrust off the couch and into the game. So holy discontent is not the result, but it motivates you to do something. It's during this defining time when your eyes open to the need surrounding you and your heart hungers to respond that you hear God say, I feel the same way about this problem. So now let's go and solve it together. So it's the moment your eyes opened and you saw something. It's the moment you felt stirred up inside and you want to do something about this, about the situations. And at this point, I want to share two stories with you. The first story is from a boy. His name is Colin Charlton. He's a 12-year-old boy. Actually, he's our neighbor. He's from a Christian family living in Vernon, B.C. And one year, he noticed in his class, he had some classmates who didn't have the money to pay for a gift for their parents. He felt so upset about this. He felt like, I should do something about it. Maybe I should spend some time to think about this whole thing. And then he started to raise money for this family. And that's how he started the center workshop. And in 2017, he's not just raised enough money for this family, but he won the Social Innovation Award from the BC government. He's just a 12-year-old boy. The second story from Haley Ford. She's even younger. She was a 9-year-old girl. But at five, okay? She was still a toddler. She one day saw a homeless and she told my mom she wanted to help. And her mom said, yes, go ahead. But they soon realized they actually won't have enough money to pay for all the food. So what to do? And she came up with this idea. Maybe I can grow some food for them. So that's how she started growing food for the homeless. And later, she saw the homeless on the street, got wet in the rain. She was again unhappy about all this. She said, no, this shouldn't happen to them. Let us do something about it. And she started to build some rain shelters around her towns for the homeless. And do you see the slide? Yes, and you see the 9-year-old up there working all by herself. Colin and Haley told us the stories of how holy discontent actually motivates us into actions and bring changes. Their dissatisfaction makes them rise up and get their hands dirty. They're planting, they're building, they're planning, change their own communities. And what are they telling us? They tell us age doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're 9, you're 12, you're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. It doesn't matter. Ability does not matter. The truth is, Haley isn't a professional builder or farmer, is she? She's not. Just a normal girl like every one of us. And Colin, he's also not proficient in fundraising, but both of them are trying their best. Both of them are learning to do the work along the way, and it is their discontent that makes them want to do something about the situation. It's that discontent make them getting out of their own comfort zone. This was also what people told me at that time when I almost left the church. One of my friends told me, you know what, Sharon? Instead of living with discontent, why not get your hand dirty? Do something about it. If you want to more of God, rise up, do something about it. Then you will know what God's love really, really is. Jesus' invitation is the same. Jesus' invitation is an invitation into his serving. He calls us to rise, to serve, to get our hand dirty. And he himself gave us an example of getting his hand dirty in John 13. On that day, Jesus got his hand really dirty for only one reason. The story started like this. John 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hours had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. One thing Jesus knew about that day was his time was limited. He was going to leave. He knew he was going back to the Father, meant leaving this world, leaving his disciple and his followers behind. You know, usually at a time like that, at a time of departures, all we think is we must say something really important, really essential, so that we feel that we fulfilled our calling. And what Jesus decided at that time was he decided to love his disciple to the end, like he has always loved them. With this in mind, we know that what was going to happen has only one reason, and the reason was love. Everything was done out of love. So Jesus rose from his suffers. He laid aside his outer garment and, taking up a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Here Jesus dressed as a servant and started to wash his disciples' feet. And here I want to tell you something about feet washing at Jesus' time. In those days, when you walk, you know, walking, it was one of the major ways of traveling. So they are different from us. They walk a lot. And they're different from us as well. They don't walk on some well-paved road like here. They walk on some dirty road, dusty road. And you can imagine their feet was really, 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 really dirty. So as an act of hospitality, hosts at that time usually offer his guests to wash their feet. Yet, washing someone's feet, touching someone's feet is considered humiliating for anyone with dignity, for anyone with authority, especially for Jews. So no Jews would want to do this. No people in authority would like to do this. Then what to do? Hosts usually ask their non-Jewish servants, do it for the guest. And now, let's look at Jesus again. He took off his outer garment, taking a towel tied around his waist. Clothing in those days was different from us as well. It tells who you are. How you dress tells who you are. So when you took off the outer garment, it means Jesus actually took off his identity as the teacher and the Lord. And what he do? What he have done is, Jesus, the Lord, the teachers, dressed up exactly like a servant. Imagine Jesus became a servant at this point. And he started washing his disciples' feet, which is the most humiliating thing you can imagine in the world. Out of love, the Bible told us, he humbly put himself aside, stepping out of the boundary. He stepped out of the tradition to serve his disciples. But it does not supposed to happen like this. In tradition, it should be the disciple washing Jesus' feet. Jesus, a man with dignity and authority, should not touch anyone's feet, especially his disciples. They didn't deserve that. And that explained Peter's reactions later in the Bible. John chapter 13, verse 6. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Peter was right. Jesus should not do this. He could not have asked his disciple to, do it for him, but not himself. It is inappropriate. It is the deepest humiliation to himself. And I can totally relate to that. I remember there was once I signed up for a lunch with one of my seminary supervisor, who is, of course, a professor. And at lunch, she brought me to this small cafe. She sat me down, okay? And then she went all the way to order food for me, pay the food for me, and then brought the food to me while I was like sitting there waiting. You know, I was so shocked. I felt like, no way, I didn't deserve this. You know, I'm a Chinese. Chinese mean what? We respect the teachers. We respect the authority. We respect senior and who he was. A professor of mine, a supervisor of mine, and he was a senior. I was the younger one. I was like sitting there waiting for him to serve me. I felt so like, oh no, I didn't deserve this. I felt so bad. But he didn't care. He told me it's okay. What was on his mind was he wanted to make sure I was okay. I was taken care of. And my eye was like, I almost want to cry. I was so loved. Similar to Jesus. He did not care. Jesus did not care. His focus was not on himself, not on his comfort, and definitely not on his dignity at that time. He was thinking about what was going to happen after he left. His heart was all out for his disciples. He wanted the best of them. He wanted them to know how to live in his absence. Jesus wanted his disciples to know how to live this life on earth in his absence. So at the end, he instructed his disciples. He said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher, the Lord, and you are right, for I am. If I then, your Lord, the teachers, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you." Here he resumed his authority again and he told his disciples one of the very important things they should remember for the rest of their lives. Jesus said, "I know you didn't understand. It's okay. Do it. If I then, your Lord and teacher, has washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." He said here, he became the example. Example here does not mean what we used to mean, an options. You know, nowadays the word example can be misleading. Because sometimes we use example as if it's just a suggestion for you. Like, sometimes I say to my husband, "Oh, the weather is warm, the weather is cold." So, for example, you can wear a thicker jacket. For example, you can wear a mitten and then put on your scarf. It doesn't mean he has to do like that. It's just some options for him. You can do this, but you don't need to do this. However, when Jesus say exampled, he say, "I set a model for you. I am the model for you and you have to follow. My people have to follow me and act exactly like I do." He was calling his disciples and all of us who followed him to follow what he has done. Jesus' invitation here is an invitation into his service. This calling is calling us to rise, to serve, to get our hand dirty. Following him in putting yourself down, taking up the servant's heart, it can mean being a little bit uncomfortable because you are no longer sitting right up there waiting to be served, but step down, taking off your outer jacket, taking off your identity. Yes, right, like that. Taking off your identity and assume a lower position as a servant. It means getting your hand dirty to serve those who you don't think deserve it. It means humbling yourself to serve one another, to respond to the need, and then you will get to understand what love is. I know it's tough. I know it sounds uncomfortable at the very beginning, because most of us want to stay comfortable, right? That's a reason why a full-service restaurant charges you more than fast food chain like McDonald's and KFC. That's a reason for that. And most of us avoid doing anything humiliating. We want to look good. But Jesus calls us into the reverse. Say, putting down your need to look good. Stepping out of your comfort zone to serve. Lose yourself and get your hand dirty. I remember a few years ago we had a retreat camp. And on the last day of the camp, we had this special assignment. Some of us were there as well. We had to wash each other's feet, remember? I was washing my husband's feet at that time. I talked to myself, this would be easier. You know, it's just my husband. It's okay. But then in the middle of the process, tears came to my mind, my eyes. I couldn't help crying. Because at that time, that was the first time I noticed what's the meaning of washing someone else's feet. You know, in order to be able to wash someone else's feet, you need to knelt down. It's not enough just to bow down, but you need to knelt down. You need to touch the feet, which was the most dirty part of the body, like that. And I told myself, Jesus did that. And I did not deserve this. It should be me bowing down to him, but now it's Jesus knelling down in front of his disciples. At that time, I start to understand how great this love is. That he put away all his identity, he put himself aside and serving the undeserved. How deeply his love is for him to knell in front of us. And my heart felt so full of this love, so full that I want others to know this. I want others to hear about this. I want people to see it, to experience, to taste Jesus' love. It's that deep. It's that wide. It's that big. And I don't care anymore how bad or how good I look in front of others. It's okay. And this is one of my reasons I stand up here to share this message today. Actually, I didn't care. English wasn't, it's not my first language. I didn't care. Actually, my English sucked, I know, okay? But I want you to know that the God we are serving is this loving God, full of mercy, full of grace, full of love. He gave himself away for us, the undeserved. I want more people to know about it. More people should know this love in their lives. More people should be able to encounter God. We are here to serve for a reason. It's because of his love, God's love. That's the motivation behind us, to keep us going years after years after years and don't care that we get our hands dirty. Jesus' invitation is an invitation into his service. Come and follow Jesus, stepping out of your comfort zone and to serve with us, with this same passion, with the same eagerness, with the same humility. And this is our church. In Koinonia Church, this is the call we followed. We want to follow Jesus and becoming little Christ through his humbly serving each other's. This is part of Jesus' calling. Through serving, we learned to care what God's care. Through serving, we eagerly want to respond to this heart, to this love. Through serving, we learn how to put ourselves down stepping out of our comfort zone and get our hands dirty. Today, I want to extend this invitation to you. Stepping out of your comfort zone. Serve. Regardless how old or how young you are. Regardless who you are. There are a lot of brothers and sisters every week serving our church in the same manner, in full humility and love. For example, we have dentists among us serving in the site team, which means they're setting up the stage every week, setting up the chairs. You may think it's easy to set up chairs here, but you should go to the Chinese worship and you will find that they actually need to set up all the floating chairs all by themselves. There's like more than 100 chairs. We have nurses and pharmacists serving our children. We have engineers among us in our technician team set up all this equipment for us so that we can praise, we can sing, we can preach, we can speak. During the weekdays, they are all professional. But on Sunday, they decide to take down their professional identities and humbly serving God, serving His people. Together as a community, we serve. We serve the Lord in any capacities so that more people get to know God. Are you ready? Are you ready to get your hand dirty? Are you ready to respond to this call of washing each other's feet? Church, let's rise. Let us pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for showing your love to us. How wide, how big, how deep is your love. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your act of humility. You're giving us yourself freely for us who don't deserve that. Lord, help us to have this love fully run into our life. Lord, help us to understand and remember this love. Lord, may you give us the same humility to put down ourselves and let's together we can respond to your call to be part of your kingdom, to be invited into your own ministry. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
My Jesus, my Lord, you're the love of my life. Wherever you go, wanna be by your side. No longer I, but Christ living in me. Serving you for eternity. My eyes set on you in this race that I run. No longer my way, let your will be done. Make me a servant, my heart's ever true. Clinging to the cross, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. Standing in awe of your grace, setting my feet in your way, entering into your presence to behold you face to face. God of all heaven and earth, holding me in your embrace, unfailing love that surrounds me. Oh God, I stand amazed. My Jesus, my Lord, you're the love of my life. Wherever you go, wanna be by your side. No longer I, but Christ living in me, serving you for eternity. My eyes set on you in this race that I run. No longer my way, let your will be done. Make me a servant, my house ever true, clinging to the cross, I'll follow you. My Jesus, my Lord,
you're the love of my life. Wherever you go, wanna be by your side. No longer I, but Christ living in me, serving you for all eternity.
My eyes set on you in this race that I run. No longer my way, let your will be done. Make me a servant, my heart's ever true, clinging to the cross, I follow you, I follow you. To the cross, I'll follow you. I'll follow you.
Yes, Jesus, you are our example, and let us follow you. Follow you from today to all into eternity. In your name we pray. Amen. Church, be seated.
One way you can start is by beginning serving on Sunday. You know why this church is here? To draw people into Christ, to make them little Christ. We're here to help people to put on Christ, so to speak. This morning, Pastor Sharian tells us exactly what it means to put on Christ. Jesus has left us the model. Do you know that every Sunday there are more than 500 people showing up, coming to this school to seek God and to experience Him? 530, 550 people. You can be one of 14 servant teams to prepare a meeting place for these people. If you are not currently serving on any teams, I strongly recommend you to pick one team and learn to serve right away. My goal is for everyone sitting here, to become a servant, to learn how to serve. I don't care if you are grade 10 or if you are 60 years old. Join one of the team and start learning to serve. Unless you are visiting, unless you are not quite sure whether you belong to Koinonia or not, then it's okay. If you are not a Christian yet and you're not sure what it means to be following, actually, let me change that. If you want to explore Christianity, if you want to find out what it means to become a Christian, one way to experience that is by serving. Okay, so even if you are not a Christian, and if you want to experience what it means to be a Christian, what it means to become a Christian, I encourage you to serve. Okay? And then if you have served for six months and you think, you know, Christianity is not for me, then talk to me. I'll put you off the schedule. And then you know you are not a Christian, and that's fine. That's okay with me. You see people, yeah, the people wearing yellow, they are hospitality team, admin team, and parking team. They hospitality team welcome people to church this morning. As you come in, you should be welcomed by a lot of yellow shirts. Parking team directs you to find parking. Admin team help to serve new families as they come in with children and youth. They register the kids so that they know which classroom they should go to. People wearing black shirts are lighting team, tech team, presentation team. Lighting team for us is, as of now, is pretty simple. You just need to turn on and off this tube light. There's just an on-off switch. And then there's the dimmer. You adjust the lighting level. And then there's the LED light in front. That's pretty much everything for lighting team. But for the beginning of next year, 2018, this place is gonna, we are a work in progress, and we are turning this place into an even better place. There will be a few more LED lights to set up, and then there should be two spotlights at the back, and then that will transform the whole stage, and it will be all different. So lighting team will have a lot of more duties next year. Tech team are responsible for, you see the soundboard over there, and then the speakers, and then connecting all the sound, the music instruments to the soundboard. So, and we had actually we bought a new soundboard this year. We had an analog mixer, but now we have a digital mixer. It's much more fun. You can actually stand at the back of the auditorium, and he can do through the iPad. He can wirelessly control the soundboard. So that's a lot of fun if you are into sound and audio. Presentation team. That's where Toby is sitting. He is in the hot seat. Because did you notice that he didn't make any mistake this morning? It's actually quite hard. Three songs, one response song using ProPresenter, and then this morning we have three presentation files because Sharian is speaking, I am speaking, and then Haynes will be speaking. So it's a lot of if you like that adrenaline rush, you know, you like that, that's the spot you want to be in. Okay, so blue shirts. They are the people. They are doing all the heavy lifting on Sunday. They work with three movers. We hire three movers. They transport all the equipment from the storage to the school, deliver them at the right location, set up the stage and chairs, set up the classroom for Kapos. And next year, January, I think we are going to do something new. We are going to buy another panel here, so the stage will actually be extended. So I'll be preaching there. It will be closer in your face. You may want to sit at the back. Okay, so that's what Site Team does. Green shirts are music team. They create and perform all the wonderful music that leads us to God in the morning. They practice together during the week, and they rehearse on Sunday morning around 9:15, 9:30. If you are talented in music, if you have a passion to use music to lead people to God, please join this team. The orange shirts, Kapos and X, they are the teachers and the helpers, the facilitators. The children and the youth are our next generation. This is where, as you notice, that's the biggest group. That's where we are going to put the most resource into. And I'll speak more about Kapos and X next Sunday, but please think about serving there as well. This morning, I appeal to you to join a ministry team and start serving your brothers and sisters. Don't come on Sunday waiting to be served. Get down on your knees like the Lord did and assume a lower position. Roll up your sleeves and start washing people's feet. Yes, I guarantee you, it will be inconvenient. You will need to wake up early. rush through your Sunday morning breakfast, brace for the cold weather, arrive at church early, do stuff that you won't even do at home, and stay around longer and get hungry after the service. It is inconvenient, it is uncomfortable, but it is the path of discipleship. This morning message is really simple. Everyone sitting here should be able to understand it. It is a simple message, but it is also a profound message because it actually tells us what following Jesus means. Following Jesus does not mean coming to church on Sunday. It does not mean singing praise songs. Following Jesus does not mean listening to sermons, good sermons, week after week after week. That's not following Jesus. Following Jesus means, okay, listen to this. Following Jesus means taking up the passion of Jesus Christ, taking up the posture of Jesus Christ, and apply it to your life. Okay, let me say that again. It's important. It's simple, but it's profound. Following Jesus means taking up the passion of Jesus Christ, taking up the posture of Jesus Christ, and apply it in your life. Why is Jesus doing it? He is showing his disciples the extent to which he is loving them. And he wants them to love one another just as he has loved them. Having loved his own in the world, he loved them to the end. John 13, verse 1. This is why the Son of God came down from heaven only to be crucified by men on the cross. So will you please think about this seriously? Think about your faith. Think about what you are doing at church. And sign up to serve today. Okay, so if you may have question, if you have question, don't be afraid to ask. Talk to Carson, talk to Gabriel, talk to myself. We can all explain to you about serving, and we can help you to sign up. So before, as you are exiting this entrance this morning at 12:30, I want you to think seriously about that. Okay, if you agree that Koinonia is the church that you belong to, and as you exit this service, think about how you can serve this community. Think about how you can serve the 550 people coming in here every Sunday. Okay, that's all I want you to do. I don't need you to sign up this morning. I just need you, as you exit, think about how you can serve one of the 500 people coming in to find God and be a part of the mission of the church.